If the men and women who are wearing a uniform now get to openly serve, well, I think that it was worth it in the end.
I condemn this law of Nigeria because it violates the equality clause both in Nigerian law as well as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you will.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A bouquet of lawsuits bloomed from the U.S. Supreme Court DOMA decision. The U.N. rights leader has her say about Nigeria's Jail All the Gays bill. And the story behind a big gay anthem by straight songwriter Small. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Jen Mahoney.
And I'm Charlie Barr.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 6th, 2013. The life-changing ramifications of last week's U.S. Supreme Court marriage equality rulings continue to unfold this week. On the heels of the High Court's overturning a key provision of the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, the Pentagon says that the spouses of gay and lesbian service members will soon enjoy all the military benefits of their married heterosexual peers. That provision of DOMA had denied federal recognition to legally married same-gender couples, preventing the Defense Department from offering those spousal benefits to its same-gender partnered personnel.
Deportation proceedings against gay and lesbian foreigners in legal marriages with same-gender American citizens were halted almost immediately. The hearing for a gay Colombian man who had married his U.S. partner was stopped literally within hours of the High Court DOMA decision. There were conflicting reports about which foreign spouse in a married binational U.S. gay or lesbian couple was the first to get a green card, but at least a few have already been issued. They establish residency and allow the foreign-born partner to work in the U.S. legally. Immigration offices around the country have reportedly been flooded with same-gender couples asking for the appropriate application forms.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano confirmed this week that Americans can now also sponsor their foreign-born same-gender spouses for citizenship, the same way heterosexual Americans can. And according to the LGBT advocacy group Immigration Equality, a U.S. citizen will now be able to file a fiancé visa application if their future spouse lives in another country and doesn't have a visa.
CNN reported this week that Edith Windsor, the now 84-year-old plaintiff who brought the DOMA case, will finally get back the $638,000 in estate taxes she had to pay the IRS and New York State after her spouse, Thea Speier, died in 2009. Windsor's lawyers say that she's due about $70,000 in interest alone. Surviving spouses in the U.S. are generally entitled to inherit the estate of their late husband or wife tax-free, but because DOMA only recognized marriages of a man and a woman for the purposes of federal law, same-gender spouses had not been entitled to the same privilege.
And a day after issuing its DOMA ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court denied a series of appeals in other LGBT-related cases, including one by Arizona Governor Jan Brewer. She unsuccessfully defended a law that would have ended domestic partner benefits for the state's lesbian and gay employees. Same-gender couples can't yet legally marry in the state.
The High Court also denied a request by Nevada's Coalition for the Protection of Marriage for it to bypass a pending federal appeals court case challenging that state's constitutional ban on marriage equality and to immediately rule on the issue. The lesbian plaintiff couple lost at the trial court level, but their appeal remains active with the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals.
The American Civil Liberties Union of New Mexico and the National Center for Lesbian Rights filed a lawsuit this week asking the state's high court to acknowledge the right of same-gender couples to marry in the land of enchantment. New Mexico marriage laws are gender neutral.
Six same-gender couples and Garden State Equality argued this week that DOMA's demise confirms that New Jersey is in violation of the state Supreme Court's 2006 ruling ordering the equal legal treatment of same-gender couples. Lawmakers responded by passing what turned out to be a less than equal civil unions law. The pending lawsuit, filed in 2011, detailed the inequalities and asked the state's high court to open civil marriage to same-gender couples.
A federal judge in Michigan told a lesbian couple challenging the state's constitutional ban on marriage equality in March that he wanted to wait for the U.S. Supreme Court's DOMA decision. The same judge said this week that the couple is now entitled to their day in court and they shall have it.
And 11 same-gender couples filed a lawsuit this week in Arkansas challenging the legitimacy of their state's constitutional ban on marriage equality.
Hundreds of jubilant same-gender couples flocked to city halls and county courthouses across California this week, and as the Associated Press reported, with pets, siblings, and kids in tow, to get marriage licenses. It followed the U.S. Supreme Court's refusal last week to consider a challenge by Protect Marriage to a federal appeals court ruling that struck down the state's equality banning Proposition 8. The first marriages were held late on Friday, June 28th, following the Ninth Circuit's unexpectedly quick lifting of a stay on its equality-affirming ruling, pending the Supreme Court decision. A few city and county offices in the state were open over the weekend to issue licenses, but most were not. The Los Angeles County Clerk Recorder's Office logged more than 600 online marriage license applications on Saturday and Sunday, more than five times the usual amount, and posted extended hours on Monday and Tuesday to deal with the crush.
The Delaware lawmaker who came out during debate over her state's civil marriage equality bill was the first to legally marry there on July the 1st, the first day that the legislation took effect. State Senator Karen Peterson converted her civil union with Vicky Bandy into a civil marriage at the county clerk's office in Wilmington. Newcastle County Clerk of the Peace, Ken Bolden, told local media that 108 other same-gender couples in the tiny state received marriage licenses on that day.
Elsewhere, of all the ways for gay and lesbian couples to achieve marriage equality, this has got to be a first. Costa Rica's Legislative Assembly has accidentally approved the legal recognition of same-gender couples. It's not unusual for lawmakers to vote on measures without reading them thoroughly, and that was apparently the case on July 1st when they approved an amended bill to revise the Family Code, which previously only recognized the legal union of a man and a woman. Liberal lawmaker Jose Maria Villalta added the amendment which affirms the right to recognition without discrimination for domestic partnerships to eventually grant legal capacity for marriage. Some conservative legislators who voted for the measure have in the past compared same-gender attraction to alcoholism or tobacco addiction. They urged President Laura Chinchilla to veto it. But she refused, telling local media that, "We understand that the debate is over how some interpret the law, and this alone is not sufficient for the executive to veto the law." A court challenge to the bill is almost certain.
In other news, a record crowd of some 21,000 people bathed Singapore's Hong Lim Park Speaker's Corner in pink on June 29th at the annual Pink Dot LGBT Rights Festival. It's the only place in the city-state where citizens can legally demonstrate. About 2,500 people participated in the first event in 2009. An estimated 15,000 showed up in 2012. And as the sun went down this year, pink-attired LGBT rights supporters illuminated the park with pink-hued flashlights and other devices. As in previous years, participants called for the repeal of the British colonial era Section 377 of Singapore's penal code that outlaws private, consensual adult same-gender sex. Authorities claim that it's rarely enforced, but activists say that the very existence of the law intimidates LGBT people and makes them potential criminals. A court challenge to the law's constitutionality failed in April.
Traditional LGBT pride events were also held on the last weekend of June in major cities around the world, including New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Seattle, Milan, and London. Amidst growing political turmoil in Turkey, activists had considered canceling the planned 21st annual Pride Parade on June 30th in Istanbul. But several thousand people unexpectedly joined the city's LGBT Pride March to demonstrate unity and solidarity with the nationwide movement for greater democratic freedoms. Chaos GL, the country's main LGBT rights organization, estimated that tens of thousands joined the Pride March from previous protests against the demolition of Istanbul's Gezi Park, which has sparked the country's pro-democracy movement. Participants carried a giant rainbow flag and held banners demanding justice and LGBT rights in Turkish, Kurdish, Armenian, and Arabic. The organizers said in a media statement that the event highlighted the fact that in a society where we are deemed sick, deviant, immoral, and the culprit by the state authorities, we have formed a voice demanding resistance. First ever pride marches were reportedly also held in the Turkish cities of Izmir and Antalya on the same day.
And finally, a proposal in Brazil to reclassify gays and lesbians as mentally disordered is gone, but not forgotten. Protests have been held against the measure across the country. Its evangelical Christian sponsor said he withdrew the measure this week because it's clear that the votes he needed for passage were not there. But out Brazilian lawmaker Jean Willis warned that the withdrawal of the bill doesn't mean that it's permanently dead. He said that it could be reintroduced in 2015. The legislation passed in the Congressional Human Rights and Minorities Commission, which is headed by another homophobic preacher, Marco Feliciano. It would overturn a 1999 ban by Brazil's mental health organizations on treating homosexuality as a mental disease or disorder. Feliciano had condemned lesbians and gay men as sick and against the rule of God, and that salvation awaits them in the form of a gay cure. "Today we are celebrating," said one Brazilian LGBT rights activist. The next step, however, and we're not yet sure how to do it, is to remove Feliciano from his position.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 6th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced this week by Steve Pride and Angela Brooks.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Charlie Bauer.
And I'm Jen Mahoney.
We've got a great big world, the latest from the UN about Nigeria, and the genesis of everything possible. All coming your way on this week's This Way Out.
Living up, living up, living up proud.
More than 6,800 miles from the site of the Stonewall Uprising, U.S. service members have observed the first LGBT Pride event in a deployed environment at Kandahar Airfield, Afghanistan. This official U.S. Defense Department report captured the spirit of the celebration.
I don't want to be treated special, I just want to be treated equal.
It's been a little under 2 years since President Obama signed the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, and service members deployed to Afghanistan were allowed to observe lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender pride.
People came to support people that they didn't even know. They just knew that they were part of the LGBT community, and they wanted to come support us. I think that right there shows how forward the armed forces is getting ready to go.
It makes my military service well worth it. I think that everything that I experienced, everything that I went through, was worth it in the end. If the men and women who are wearing a uniform now get to openly serve as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, I think that it was worth it in the end.
What does celebrating LGBT pride in Afghanistan mean to the United States?
I think it's very important that we are here representing the United States of America, and we hope that when we leave here, we have left all positive qualities and what America is like, and that we're an equal country. We treat all our citizens equally.
Reporting from Kandahar Airfield, Afghanistan, I'm Marine Corporal Kaz Krul.
If you're gay, then you're gay. Don't pretend that you're straight. You could be who you are any day of the week. You are unlike the others, so strong and unique. We're all with you.
If you're straight, well, that's great. You can help procreate and make gay little babies for the whole human race. Make a world we can live in where the one who you love's not an issue. 'Cause we're all
gay.
If you're straight, well, that's great.
If you fall in between,
that's the best way to be.
You got so many options.
Every fish in the sea wants to kiss you.
That was A Great Big World with their online video hit telling a new generation that everyone is gay. In the 1980s, the slogan was, "We are everywhere." And in a few moments, we'll recall a diversity anthem that was born before the internet. Another anti-homophobia cyber campaign targeted Nigeria this week when Irish hacktivist Paddy Hack took down the government's official website. Paddy Hack threatened to reveal high-level corruption unless President Goodluck Jonathan renounces and vetoes an extreme measure that goes much farther than ostensibly just banning marriage equality. Referred to as the Jail All the Gays Bill, the law passed by Parliament in late May would imprison known LGBT people for up to 14 years and slap heavy sentences on anyone who knows, supports, or even provides services to them. UN Human Rights Commissioner Navi Pillay laid down her organization's most explicit challenge yet to the proposal in response to questions from Davis Makiala of Changing Attitudes Nigeria on the BBC World Have Your Say program.
Nigeria is a signatory to the international treaties supporting non-discrimination based on identity, dignity, equality of all persons. What is the UN doing to ensure that all states are keeping and respecting these treaties that they ratified or signed?
You are quite right. Nigeria signed many treaties. And Nigeria has to report how it's implementing and delivering on its obligations. There are 10 treaty bodies now. They all in various ways require Nigeria to come before it and respond as to how it's addressing discrimination in various forms, including the ones you detailed. And these are public forums and civil society are present. So if you have any direct complaints, do send them to us and we will refer them to the treaty bodies where Nigeria presents its report.
Well, the Senate and the House of Representatives just passed a same-sex marriage prohibition bill, which have about 14 years prison sentence for same-sex people, or also for their family members or anyone who associate, or even those who offer services to same-sex people in the language of this bill. And this bill has gone through Parliament and is waiting for the President to sign it.
I am very concerned that the rights of LGBT people, that's the sexual orientation right, are being violated, that they are subject to discrimination. And I condemn this law of Nigeria because it violates the equality clause both in Nigerian law as well as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which speaks of equality for all.
That was UN Human Rights Commissioner Navi Pillay on BBC World responding to gay activist Davis Makiala about Nigeria's pending draconian anti-LGBT law. A singer-songwriter who was a straight ally, long before there was a name for that, made a much-loved contribution to LGBT culture. Queer music maestro J.D. Doyle wanted to know everything possible about everything possible.
This year is the 30th anniversary of one of the iconic songs of the LGBT culture, and it was written by a straight man, and a very talented and supportive one, named Fred Small. His music catalog goes back to the early 80s and includes many songs addressing lesbian and gay issues. I was very pleased to be able to interview him to capture his describing the inspiration for writing the song Everything Possible.
I was on tour in the Pacific Northwest in, I think, the winter of 1983, and I was staying in the home of Janet Peterson, who is a cellist and singer with the women's group Motherload. And she and I were talking, and she was telling me about her son, who was then 9 years old, and how he was struggling in school because of all the expectations and pressure and gender stereotyping around being a boy. You know, he'd just been a kid, and suddenly he realized there were all these norms that he had to uphold as a guy, that he had to distinguish himself from girls by being different. And the difference was not a difference that he found very helpful or natural to him. And Janet said something like, "Well, Fred, I'm going to make the same request of you that I'm making to every songwriter who passes through Seattle. And can you write a song that can support my son in knowing that he has choices, that it doesn't have to fit these stereotypes?" I don't recall how I responded, but within 24 hours, I think, I was working on Everything Possible, and that was the genesis of the song. At some point, Elliot Pilshaw heard the song and brought it to the Flirtations, with whom he was singing at the time, and they arranged it for their five a cappella voices and began to sing it as part of their repertoire, and my understanding is that it became their most requested song. And they, of course, brought it to a completely different and ultimately much larger audience of, you know, gay and lesbian choruses and their audiences around the world.
This is maybe an unfair question. Do you have a favorite recording of the song?
Oh, I'd have to say the Flirts, you know, with Michael singing. It's just stunning.
We have cleared off the table, the leftovers saved, washed the dishes and put them away. I have told you a story and tucked you in tight at the end of your knockabout day. As the moon sets its sail to carry you to sleep over the midnight sea, well, I will sing you a song no one sang to me. May it keep you good company. You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads. And know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone.
Some girls grow up strong. Some boys are quiet and kind.
Some race on ahead, some follow behind.
Some grow in their own space and time.
Some women love women, and
some men love men.
Some raise children, and some never do.
Can dream
of a day never reaching the end of everything possible for you.
be rattled by names, by taunts or games, but seek out
spirits true.
If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they will give the same back to you. You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads. And know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone.
Oh, the love you leave behind when you're gone.
The Flirtations, with Michael Callum singing lead on that track. I thought it would be a crime to interrupt or shorten that gorgeous song. Fred Small has been a Unitarian Universalist minister in Cambridge, Massachusetts for a number of years now, and he no longer has a music website, but his recordings can be found at the usual internet resources. And you can hear more of my interview with Fred at queermusicheritage.com. This is J.D. Doyle, and you are listening to This Way Out.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Jen Mahoney, Charlie Bauer, and J.D. Doyle contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride and Angela Brooks. Sugar Beach, A Great Big World, and The Flirtations performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by the Yavanna Foundation, the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners. Log on to thiswayout.org for the inside info and for links to our blog and our Facebook page. You can also hear This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins, Ward, Colorado, CJLY, Nelson, British Columbia, WHYS, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're gonna stay tuned.